We're all put on the planet for a reason. We all have skills that other people can't even compete with. We often try to overcome the things that we're not great at. I know this term has been used a lot, but if you focus on what you're good at and yourself, don't be ashamed of who you are. Your opportunities are endless.
Hi, I'm Andrew Brown, and you're listening to the Lost Star of the Skilled Trades podcast, a show that shines the spotlight on careers in the skilled trades that are high-paying, honorable, rewarding, and fulfilling. The truth is, the trades are the backbone of the economy that keep us running, and without them, our world would cease to exist. I'm super excited. Today, we're chatting with Ed Curtis, CEO of Y-Texas. Ed, welcome to the podcast.
Great to be here, Andrew.
The pandemic has showed us that we can work remotely and run our businesses basically from anywhere. We were talking offline together. My business partner moved from New York to Florida, and basically he packed up his family during the pandemic in an RV, and they drove down to Florida right in the pandemic, and our business is flourishing. And people were flocking to different states and different locations. One place a lot of people were flocking to was Texas. And Y-Texas helps support, promote, connect companies that are relocating and expanding in Texas. What's it about Texas? What makes it so attractive to bring a business down there?
I think this applies to pre, during, and post-COVID, is just the ease of doing business and the ability to innovate and come up with creative ideas and bring it to the marketplace and test it. Not really have a lot of overreach, interference, taxation, things like that. One of the positive things that did come out of COVID for the state of Texas was we did have a lot of people that had pent up interest in the state actually come to fruition because they had the time to think through what would a move look like. And the state benefited greatly and has been ever since.
Do you have any statistics of how many companies, percentage-wise, of how many people have come down over the last couple of years?
Let's put it this way. I've been tracking relocations for about 10 years, 2020 and 21. The average year, we would have headquarter relocations somewhere around 15 to 25 companies. Now, it's not a perfect science because there are tons of companies moving that don't make the headlines of the newspaper. It's not really something you can easily track. But for the most part, you know, the large middle market, Fortune 500 headquarter relocations, somewhere around 20. In 2021, it was 62 companies. And then, of course, 22 and 23 kind of tapered back down. So no question, during COVID, we had triple the amount of companies moving into Texas than in prior years, which, as you look at now the job numbers, Texas is leading every state by a large amount with new job openings and opportunities, because all these companies that have moved here are now looking to fill the positions. And ideally, the cheapest way to do that is fill it with people locally, so you don't have to relocate them in from other states and retrain them and the like.
Yeah, and I only hear good things about Texas. And in our business, we speak to people all over the country. And anytime that I get somebody on the phone in the trades from Texas, they're just the nicest people. They're just really nice, whether they're in plumbing or they're in electrical, they're a business owner, they're in the field. They always seem to be in good spirits. So Texas has always kind of been on the radar for me. I was actually in Texas last year, and obviously I'll be down there in October and we'll talk about Y-Texas Summit in a little bit. But I was down in Richardson, Texas, and I was on a podcast there by the name of Roger Wakefield. He's a very well-known plumber in the industry. He's got a big YouTube channel. And I remember going down there and I stayed right by his studio and I was like, wow, it's really clean. It's really nice. It was October, still hot down there. I remember just going through the streets and looking at the homes and was like, yeah, I could see myself live here. Just seems like a nice place to put down roots.
I tell this to people that have lived here their whole lives. When you don't know what it's like to live somewhere else, you think that things come naturally. But yeah, the way the roads are maintained, the way the communities, for the most part, you know, have uniformity in making sure that you don't make your neighbor look bad because you've got a nice lawn or things like that. Not necessarily highly regulated, but it seems to me that, and I learned this moving here, people are proud to be Texans. I know it sounds quirky. it resonates in any town, whether it's a low-income community, whether it's a high-end neighborhood, whether it's San Antonio, Houston, or Dallas. There's something ingrained in the DNA of residents here that they're just proud to be Texans. And I think if there's one thing we can all agree on, we need more of that in this country. It's not anything you can explain. It also resonates in the business community as well. It's very odd, Andrew. When I first moved here, I moved from the East Coast. I got into commercial banking, very cutthroat business, and a lot of high expectations when I took the job. And the first thing I noticed is that when I went out and competed against other banks, they were almost friendly to me. At first, I thought maybe there's a strategy here, right? Your friend's close, your enemy's closer. But it was an actual true genuineness, like, hey, look, I'm looking forward to competing with you. I'm going to win, but, you know, welcome to Texas. It was very, very odd. It's that type of feel, I think, that you see in business down here that's nice. You know, everyone wants to feel welcome and interesting.
So we're both New Yorkers, and it's interesting. People always ask, what's it like to live in New York? Or how do you live in New York City and you live in that little apartment and you pay exorbitant prices? I don't really understand it. Or there's people that I speak to. Yeah, I used to live in New York City, but now I live in XYZ. And I'm like, I'm much happier outside of New York. So New York has its luster. It has, you know, the city and being in the city. But I've always sort of questioned, does it make sense to live here? And you made that shift years ago, where you came from New York and then you shifted to Texas. In the days of your banking days, were you, when you shifted over to why Texas, what was your journey like? Was it one day an aha moment, or it was just a series of things that kind of led up to your next iteration of your career?
It all came down to people and these relationships. So after about 20 years in banking, I built a pretty robust network, a trusted network, people I knew. And when I reflected back to when I moved, I realized what I didn't realize was that I thought a transition was going to be really difficult, right? I don't know people. I'm in a foreign place. I have a weird accent. You know, I don't have any connections. This is going to be very difficult for me. And it ended up being a lot easier than I expected. And I scratched my head and I said, you know, as I'm financing companies that are moving here, I would just normally say to them, hey, and by the way, when you get here, you know, these are four or five people you need to know. And they would say to me, wow, that's very helpful. Why would you do something like that? That's not part of my interest rate, is it? And I said, no, it's just the way we do business here. I was kind of a point in my career where I definitely wanted to transition out. Any advice for youngsters? Transitioning out of a career in your 40s is not easy. I found out it's a lot harder than I thought it was going to be. But I relied on the network that I built, and my phone calls were, hey, Joe, hey, Mary, I'm starting a new business. I'd like to tell you about it. Would like to talk to you about how maybe we could do business together. And it made it a lot easier to do that because I had that trusted network.
I always say it's not what you know, it's who you know. It's your network, the people that you work with over the course of the years. I always feel that you never know when you can be possibly working with that individual sort of down the road. So staying connected with people and meeting different people and asking for help. What's one thing in my career that I started doing, and I did it very late. When I was younger, I was always told to do things myself. Maybe it was ingrained in me to try to do it myself, but it held me back. And until I started asking for help and seeking out mentors, that's when things started to explode. I'm not an expert, and I never claimed to be an expert in everything, but when you get the right person on a certain topic, man, it's eye-opening. For me personally, to develop my skills as a CEO and a business owner, I'm actually a part of a group called Vistage, which is a bunch of CEOs that meet once a month, and we bring in a speaker about a relevant topic. And then as business owners, we talk about issues. I come away out of these meetings, I'm like, oh my God, how did I not think of that? Even though what they're doing is in a different industry, I can apply it to my business. So I'm always trying to grow. I'm always trying to understand things that I don't understand, because I always feel that there's a lot of things you don't know, and the things that you don't know hurt you.
Well, I mean, you look at any of these guys, whether it's Bezos or Bill Gates, and you watch them on a podcast or on YouTube. I mean, they just constantly repeat. They listen more than they speak. They find the experts. They put them in right positions and they sit back and watch. Great life lesson to any young person or even an older business person, because at the end of the day, you're exactly right. You're not going to be the expert in everything, and you don't want to be. you won't be able to function as a company. But identifying the right people that know a lot more than you do and sitting back and listening to them, building a relationship with them that lets them know that there's a win-win relationship here. Yes, I need you as an employee, but I understand you're trying to pursue a career or potentially, you know, start your own business. I think the sooner that people realize that, the more successful they'll be. And like I said, you know, the smartest people in the world, that's how they operate.
I always feel instead of being the most interesting, be the most interested in somebody else. And I always feel that's a good way to connect with somebody else because not everybody wants to hear your stuff, but it's always good to connect with people and learn their stories and understand what they've done in their journey because that really helps you where you are in your career. It might not be the exact same industry, but it certainly helps and it certainly just makes you a better person and even a better human.
It's one of the hardest things to do because in this fast-paced environment, we have a Zoom call, we want to get off in 10 minutes, we have something else to do. The attention span just for advertisers is shorter and shorter and shorter. Really taking the time to understand what the person is trying to accomplish and how you can help them. I mean, it comes back tenfold. It's really hard to do. I try to explain this to the younger generation too, because they move a lot quicker than we do. And, you know, they have this etiquette where they can almost hang up on each other without saying goodbye because it's just the new way of doing things. And I try to tell my kids, look, you know, have just a little compassion. Ask them some questions. You'll be surprised how far it will take you. This new era of social media and, you know, quick content and, you know, changes things differently. So getting back to the fundamentals, I think is really important. Again, as a nation, that's really, in my opinion, how we're going to continue to move forward is have compassion for each other while we're all trying to change the world.
First of all, it's a different generation. I have young kids and I need to instill that into them to be patient and to ask questions and you know, that goes a long way. And it goes a long way, you know, when you start a job, don't be on your phone, right? Show up on time. These are just basic things that, you know, everybody knows, but not everybody does. And I, you know, in this generation, it's a little bit different. And you need to teach those fundamentals for them to really thrive in today's marketplace. And it's just very different.
Well, it is because think about it. They have the skills that we need. I mean, my kids can tell me more about this phone, the podcast, anything that I will ever know. The only thing I have over them is a little wisdom. I see the way the world is different. I need to adjust to that because, you know, they're the consumers. They're going to be the people hiring, selling products. They're going to be the ones driving the economy. I just try to instill in them, if you just have compassion and just care a little bit about the next person, even though you're trolling each other on social media, you're making fun of them and they're making fun of you. And that's just how things are now. I'm not saying, you know, we need to dial back to the 50s and 60s and, you know, not curse or do things like that. But just if you understand, you know, society is based on treating each other with respect. At the end of the day, that's really the most important thing.
Yeah, it's the little things that count. And those things kind of go a long way. I want to pivot for a quick second. The influx of businesses into Texas, obviously, with more people, that's more strain on the infrastructure, buildings, roads, tunnels, anything in your house. Are you seeing any stress when it comes to infrastructure in Texas? Because the reason I'm asking this is because in the US, we have a C- infrastructure rating. Obviously, we're spending trillions of dollars from an infrastructure standpoint to get it to hopefully an A+, but there's a lot of people. They need to actually fix the buildings and tunnels and roads. And I don't know if the government does a great job from a PR perspective to get those people into the trades. What are you seeing sort of in Texas from an infrastructure standpoint?
I'm not an expert on this, but I can tell you, you know, Texas has 254 counties and 30 million people that live here. To say Texas would be a generalization. We have four of the fastest growing metros in Dallas, Austin, Dallas-Fort Worth, Austin, San Antonio, and Houston. Each of them are addressing and have challenges with their local infrastructure, right? How do I get to work? How do I ride my bike to the grocery store? How do we make the lights on our streets in our neighborhood more intelligent so we're not sitting and waiting, you know, for somebody that's not even there? Those are our local challenges that I think our municipalities and our local entrepreneurs are trying to help solve. The other part about the state that I've realized since I've moved here is that Historically, the major markets never really worked together. They had their own economies. They had their own communities. There was really no reason for somebody from Austin to go to Dallas. Well, now that we have broadband connectivity, work from home, you know, a global economy that requires people down in Houston at the port to communicate with someone in a distribution center in Dallas-Fort Worth is more important. So the state is now looking at our interstate highway system. Do we implement a high-speed rail? Do we actually start embracing air taxis and the future of transportation rather than putting billions of dollars into antiquated forms of transportation that made sense in the past, but not so much in the future? I'm not directly answering your question. What I'm saying is we're looking at all options and we're trying not to make bad decisions that spend a lot of money on something that isn't the future. I try to compare this to fracking. Whether one agrees with it or not, it literally changed the way the United States competed with power and energy. And it was something that happened in Texas that, because of the environment, it allowed entrepreneurial people to put their heads together and say, look, there's a better way to do this. We have all these resources. If we were able to create this system where we could use water and fracking and lower the cost of doing business, that would be beneficial to society. And it happened here. So how I see infrastructure and the build out of the future of infrastructure, it might be slow, but the way I see this from an entrepreneurial standpoint in Texas, people are saying, let's think about the future and let's go for that now. Is it a high-speed rail? Is it something that might not solve the problem tomorrow, but it'll solve it in 10 years? And I think with this new infrastructure bill, there's a lot of money coming into the states. Texas is just being responsible and trying to figure out what this is truly going to look like and how does it not, you know, bankrupt the state. You don't want to tax people to use something that they're not interested in using because the federal government gave you money.
Do these topics come up with Why Texas? So I just want to, again, pivot over to the Why Texas Summit for a quick moment, where you bring together business leaders, you bring together influential people. You're going to be doing it out of the Dallas Cowboy Stadium, which is quite amazing. I'm not necessarily a Cowboy fan, but it's okay. I still love the fact that it's going to be in Cowboy Stadium. The summit itself, does it bring these business leaders together to talk about infrastructure and other topics, you know, bringing companies into Texas and other areas within business?
Well, it does. And it brings the innovators together. And of course, we bring in legislators and college professors and other supporting organizations. I think what hopefully will make this different is that it's the entrepreneurs putting their minds together and saying, look, this is what we're working on. This is some dual use technology that could possibly benefit, you know, some of the challenges that we have statewide in an environment where the private sector is almost speaking to the state rather than vice versa. So it's really an innovation and education summit where people are telling their Texas story. How do they get here? Why did they come? What are the problem is that they're trying to solve while they're here? And how can the state and the collective wisdom of all of their peers, you know, people that, like I said, are friendly, can help them solve a problem? So it's really using the strength of the state, which is in their people, in their innovative mindset. How can we do it? Not necessarily how can we do it better than what California is doing? How can we do it better for society? And how can we do it here in Texas so we can employ our youth and continue to keep all of our vendors and suppliers that are moving here profitable?
Do you want to tell us when the summit is and where the summit is in Texas?
Tuesday, October 1st at AT&T Stadium. You'd have to go to our website to register. It's an event that we manage. Go to ytexas.com, the letter ytexas.com. It's a full-day conference from 9 a.m. to 2 p.m. You're going to see all sorts of technology out on the field. You'll meet legislators, not necessarily legislators, but state associations, trade organizations, the Space Commission, the Workforce Commission, university presidents and chancellors, really influencers that are driving the future of the state, and just have a great time on the field meeting people in Texas that are making things happen.
Well, I'm super excited because I'm going to be going down there to speak in front of 300 kids about the trades, which I'm super, super excited about. And I'm super excited to support Why Texas and what it stands for in the network and business. I'm deeply, deeply sort of moved, obviously, by the skilled trades. And, you know, speaking to kids who are the future generation of our skilled trades, are there any technical schools or anybody that would be coming to that show that is interested in the trades outside of the students that are coming?
Our community college system is one of the best in the nation. We have 50 districts that span the entire state of Texas. So we're going to have a lot of contribution from the Texas community college system and their leaders. We also have the Texas Technical Trade School System that will be participating as well. I just got a call from someone from DeVry, and they're expanding into Texas to try to create more certifications and programs. And then I don't want to discount the universities. I mean, the universities are seeing there is a need that might not require a full four-year degree. You know, companies like Lockheed Martin and Raytheon and Tesla and SpaceX, they need people now. They can't wait 4 years. So I think, you know, the economy is changing in Texas. We've got a diverse set of industries out there that have needs. A lot of these educators will be there to try to explain, you know, how we have a landscape that will help these students achieve. And Andrew, I want to give you a plug before I leave. Honestly, what you do on social media, no one is doing. It really resonates with folks like myself, resonates with kids, my kids, students. And I think that's really what we have to do is create an environment where we're communicating with them so they understand and are inspired by the opportunities that they have going forward. So we're excited to have you.
Yeah, I'm excited to be there. And I appreciate the support. You know, for me and being out in social media is just, I'm passionate about the skilled trades. And for me, that always kind of dated back to my journey, how I got into advocating for the skilled trades is really dates back to 9/11, 2001, a couple of days after the planes had just hit the buildings. I was actually there with a friend helping first responders and tradespeople find survivors the whole day. And I was an IT guy. That whole situation just changed me personally and professionally. I wanted to get back to the skilled trades. And that's when I started my tool and equipment business to get back to people in the trades, your welders, your electricians, your plumbers. So I've been doing this 23, 24 years. Just in the last couple of years, been doing this more socially, but I've been doing it behind the scenes for 22 years prior to this, and that's not on social. But I love doing this. I love hearing the success stories of kids making the journey from high school and maybe not college. It's not maybe the right fit. If they go into a trades path, they're making money right away. They're not starting off with a tremendous amount of debt. Obviously, it has to be for the right person, just like college is for the right person. But I'm passionate about it and I love speaking about it. So to get up, whether it's this podcast or it's something on LinkedIn or any of the live events that I do, or if I'm speaking down in Texas, I just really passionate and enjoy it.
No, well, it comes out in everything you do. And when you first told me that story, I mean, that is a moving story. That was a life event that changed people forever. And the fact that it, you know, led you to the past that you're in and passing on to the next generation. Look, this generation doesn't even know what 9/11 was because they weren't born. You know, this country was built on a lot of experiences like that, you know, hopefully are never forgotten, but, you know, we learned our lesson. So yeah, very, very powerful story. And I hope you share that at the event because I think people would want to hear that.
Yeah, it's been impactful for me. And it's just, I always kind of hearken back to that, that is sort of my fuel to keep this going, keep the commitment, keep showing up. And people ask, well, how do you show up every day? I mean, I made it a commitment and I just kind of show up and I do what I do. And for me, it's always long-term instead of just that short-term period of just, I want to do this more long-term and give back to the skilled trades and get more kids into the trades. Every day I wake up and I want to do that. So I found that sort of passion. This has been an amazing conversation. Before we leave the studio today, I want to ask you, what is one of your special tools of the trade? What do you see as being a common trait in business leaders that run successful businesses?
I realized this when I transitioned out of banking. It's being yourself. Literally being yourself, right? We were all put on the planet for a reason. We all have skills that other people can't even compete with. We often try to overcome the things that we're not great at. I know this term has been used a lot, but if you focus on what you're good at and yourself, don't be ashamed of who you are. Your opportunities are endless. And when I was younger, I was in commercial banking. I had to wear a tie every day. I had to be polite, you know, say the right thing. Do not speak your mind necessarily. And it was uncomfortable for me because sometimes I speak my mind and sometimes I'm a little bit out of the box. And once I realized that, I sat in meetings with CEOs of companies that I've worked with for years, and I watch them and I pay attention to them, and they're being themselves. They're comfortable in their own skin. They've obviously achieved success, but they're themselves. And I've really learned that along the way is don't be ashamed of who you are and how you operate. That is your path to success. If you're in a place where you're comfortable and you're confident, you can do anything. Don't pretend to be something you're not. I think when you think about a career pathway, sometimes that'll help answer the question for you earlier on than not.
Being authentic, finding your superpower, and go with it. Stay in your lane and what you're good at. But I like the point about being authentic and about don't change who you are. Be who you are. And it's about being comfortable. And I've had to work on that for years and took me a very long time to get this. So that's amazing advice that people who are listening can definitely sort of resonate with. Thank you for that great tip. And thank you for being a great guest. Where can people find you so the audience knows, find out more information about Why Texas and any social media channels that you have?
WhyTexas.com is our website, the letter Y-T-E-X-A-S.com. Putting a lot of content on there that's coming out of the summit. We do have a YouTube channel and other forms of social media. WhyTexas.com is most of the channels that we have on X and Instagram and Facebook. The summit that we're hosting, we're really trying to capture a lot of the content that comes out of that, including, of course, your sessions, to share with people for free on our website. We've got a lot ahead of us, but a lot of opportunity.
That's good stuff, Ed. Thank you so much for being here today.
Thank you, Andrew. I really appreciated it.
I hope you enjoyed this episode. It's been great spending time with you. If you want more valuable trades-related information, I'd really like you to head over to andrewbrown.net. and join our Trades Movement newsletter, where we advocate for the trades. We share inspirational stories, we provide resources, and you're joining a passionate trades community. Don't forget to subscribe to the podcast so you never miss another episode. We'll see you next time.
Thanks for listening to The Lost Art of the Skilled Trades. Visit us at andrewbrown.net for more resources and tips. Join us next time for real stories and meaningful initiatives as we celebrate our men and women in the skilled trades and shape the future together.